Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again. With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Hello and welcome back. It's hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. You know what it means when we get to hour three. It's me and it's KC Bubba. You can find him on the Twitter at BDentric. What is going on?
Not much, my friend. Not much. We got four awesome football games last week. Four more this week. Baseball's upon us. Life is good.
It's all coming to a head here. So yeah. I was looking up when catchers and pitchers report, and I believe it's the earliest is February 10th for some of the teams. So, I mean, before even Valentine's Day. So I like that.
Yes, definitely. You gotta like it. Kirk Cousins, how do you like that? That's what it's all about.
Man, I biffed that game for sure. And
I think most of us did.
Yeah, and the most surprising game I thought was Tennessee just smoking New England. Like I said, I'm glad that happened, of course, mm-hmm. but I was not expecting it at all. You picked Tennessee, but I think we both thought that New England was still going to win this game at home, right?
I thought it would be really close. I figured New England would still win, but the whole week I've been telling people, I think at least three of the four road teams win. I thought Minnesota would lose, but somehow it still worked out for me. It was the biggest thing was there was really no points scored this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, you did pick over on every single game here.
Yes.
That didn't work out very well. But the Buffalo game, Buffalo at Houston, you had that one wrapped up. I mean, Josh Allen started out so well. He caught the touchdown on the first drive. He looked amazing. And then, you know, as good as he looked in the first half, he looked that bad in the second half, didn't he?
Yeah, it was rough. It was really, really weird. He was dominating. The Bills were dominating on both sides of the football. And in the second half, Josh Allen forgot what to do. They forgot to just pound the rock with Singletary, who was playing so well in the first half. It was just a really weird game for the Bills, like a game that I know they probably kicked themselves for a lot, but that's going to be a tough, that flight home would have been pretty bad.
And you made sure to, I can't remember if you tweeted me or if you text me, but you sent me the J.J. Watt to be limited in this game about 10 minutes before it started. And I said 50% J.J. Watt over most defensive linemen in the NFL. And he got his one sack, didn't he?
Yep. Yes, he did. I told you last week when he said that number, I'm all, it's going to be a push. Just watch, because he's going to get at least one. Because I think they had him in for like, what, 30-40% of the snaps, and he was doing his dances and all that stuff. It was J.J. Watt special.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And then I saw he was upset. Did you see the local ABC Houston, the ABC 13 put out a tweet? It said J.J. Watt's fiance traded to Chicago because she's a professional soccer player, and he got butthurt about it. He's like, she's earned her own, blah blah blah. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure a lot of people know, you know, what her name is. So I
it's
mean,
like Zacherts' wife won the World Cup. We know,
right? Exactly. I mean, you just gotta face it. You're more famous. Things like that are gonna happen. Of course, they apologize and all that stuff. But I thought that was kind of funny, you know. But and I can see why he would be upset. That's kind of, you know, defending your wife and that kind of stuff. Yep. But moving over to the Sunday games here, Minnesota at New Orleans. I just, you know, we got the you like that and all that stuff from Kirk Cousins. What did you think of this push off? Did Kyle Rudolph push him?
Yeah, a little bit, but, you know, I wouldn't go so far as to getting busy, but I know that's what the Saints like to do because they've had it happen to them over and over again. It was really, really close. Bottom line is they should never have made it that close of a game to begin with.
Yeah, they really, I mean, you know, the Saints at home should have won this game, and now you have all this stuff that's in flux with what's going to happen with Drew Brees. Is he going to leave? I don't think he is, but if he does, who do they have after that? You know,
Taysom Hill. Don't you bite your tongue? Did you see Taysom Hill yet again for like every upteenth primetime game they've had?
I saw Taysom Hill, but why is it if Taysom Hill is so great that they went to Teddy Bridgewater when Drew Brees was hurt?
Hey, I'm 100% with you. That guy tilts me off to no end. Like, I don't play a lot of showdown, but it seemed like he was always free, and he just dominated all the time, and he did it again in this game. It was just ridiculous what Taysom – he threw a better deep ball than Drew Brees did in that game, but I'm with you. Like, Teddy – I almost give Teddy a shot, but Brees has to come back. It's not like Brady. Brady's gone. Brees should be coming back.
Right. And then, well, we're going to get to Brady in a second here. But then the Seahawks and Philly, I mean, everybody picked Seattle, but I think the huge story of this game was just watching DK Metcalf become, you know, an all-pro style wide receiver just on the national stage. He looked really, really good. Of course, Carson Wentz doing his best glass impression and not being able to stay healthy. Just unfortunate. But I don't know if Carson Wentz is ever going to play in a full playoff game here, for God's sake. What did you think of this game? You got all the props right on this one, every single one.
You got to love the Eagles fans saying, why isn't Nick Foles in the game? That was so fun. Oh, that was all over Twitter.
He got $88 million.
Yeah, you're not paying your backup quarterback $88 million. Just face the music on that one. It was rough. Like, I liked the Eagles to put some points up, but when once Wentz went out, it was just, you know, Seattle just pounded it and pounded it. It's almost as if DK Metcalf had some of Marshawn Skittles and went full beast mode in the receiving game. It was ridiculous what he was doing out there. Like, we knew how good DK Metcalf was or is, but what he did in that game alone was impressive, and now he goes into Green Bay, and we'll talk about that, a team that just loves giving up some big plays. But all in all, it's Philadelphia should be glad they got there. They're kind of working on borrowed time to begin with. Now their season's over, and they really need to evaluate, do you want to keep rolling Wentz out there type situation?
Yeah. I mean, they at least have to get a good backup, right? Because, I mean, Josh McCown was literally 40 out there. Like, what was the guy supposed to do, you know?
Yeah.
And he's, like, I think Josh McCown could be a great coach. And, you know, obviously he's there because they think he's smart and he can play a little bit still. But in a playoff situation, you're just going to want somebody better. I can't believe that more teams aren't spending high draft picks on backup quarterbacks and really trying to develop them more. because we've seen, so, you know, this year in particular, we saw so many QBs get hurt. And it's funny that Lamar Jackson was one of those guys where everyone was like, well, he runs too much. I don't want to take him because he's going to get hurt. And he's the one that didn't end up getting hurt this year. So I don't know. I guess it's just, it's one of those things. It's kind of like when I look at basketball and I go, how can five guys in the world be so much better than everybody else at basketball? And it's just that way, right? It's kind of the same thing with quarterbacks. I don't know. Are there 32 NFL caliber starting quarterbacks in the world?
I don't think so. At least it doesn't appear that way. You know, when we were younger, it seemed at least half the league had really good quarterbacks, but maybe that's just the way the game was played. But nowadays, it's just a handful of teams. You can almost pick it out every year. Like, we do fantasy, obviously, so we know who we're drafting. But it's a very interesting, I guess, set of players that we see out there these days that aren't really NFL caliber football players. And that's why every year in the draft, there's another, what, 7-8 guys that get drafted year in and year out, and only one or two maybe get a starting job. It's very, very odd. And that's why Kaepernick's name keeps coming up. I don't want to go down that road, but I'm just saying.
Of course.
The names keep getting brought up because there's so many bad quarterbacks out there. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. And the, like, the, I just, you're absolutely right about these guys. Not, and sometimes you just don't get a shot. Sometimes they're rushed. I don't know what it is. Because I feel like Teddy Bridgewater is one of those guys that it was like, all right, he's just in line to go, and then, of course, he shattered his leg, and everybody was crying at practice and everything. He leaves Minnesota, he goes to New Orleans, and you have to sit behind an all-pro. It's just, you know, the level of moving down from those guys is nuts. And I think someone said that it's the first, or the, I believe it's the second AFC championship since 2001 that doesn't have Brady, Manning, or Roethlisberger in it.
That's insane. You really go back and think that far of the quote unquote, you know, elite quarterbacks in the AFC or NFC even not there. Like, imagine if Rodgers doesn't get there. That's really about all that's left. If you're like Wilson, I guess you could throw into that mix, but elite older quarterbacks, that's it. And that is pretty wild to think. I guess it's a good thing that we might have some good young blood coming in at the same time, as it's makes you wonder, what are we going to do at the quarterback position? That's the biggest question, I guess. It's a fun question for the offseason and as we go into draft prep for next year, too.
It's fine. Okay, so I'm going to take a look here. I pulled it up on the wiki. It is, okay, so 2000 was the Ravens and the Raiders. So that was the, why can't I remember his name? The quarterback, Rich
Trent
Gannon.
Dilfer.
Rich Gannon, oh, and Trent Rich Gannon. Yes. So
yeah.
Then.
Yeah, what a great game.
It must be since 2002, because 2002 was Raiders and Titans. Then 2003, Patriots and Colts, so they were both in there. Patriots, Steelers, Steelers, Broncos, so Roethlisberger's in there. Colts, Patriots again, Patriots, Chargers, Steelers, Ravens, so that's Roethlisberger. Colts, Jets, Steelers, Jets, Patriots, Ravens, Ravens, Patriots, Broncos, Patriots, Patriots, Colts, Broncos, and Patriots, 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 Patriots. After that,
that's so disgusting.
2003 to 2018, every single year had a Steeler or had a Roethlisberger, Brady, or Manning. Wait a minute. Did we skip one? What year did? No, because the Ravens beat the Patriots to go to the Super Bowl. I thought that was the one.
But you were saying every title game, I thought, because it wouldn't be every Super Bowl.
No, I'm sorry. You're right. Every AFC championship, not every Super Bowl. So, but yeah, most of them had Brady.
Like,
so.
think of it this way. With the era we have now, we might have a Lamar or Mahomes situation for the next upteenth years. Because if Mahomes wins this week, or Lamar, you get back-to-backs, because Mahomes was in it last year. So we have that rain that could start, and, you know, maybe Tannehill. We, you know, don't forget some of these young, great quarterbacks.
Okay. Are we doing this? Are we doing this? But, dude, I'm looking since 2011, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 AFC championships in Foxborough. One in Denver, no, two in Denver, and one in Kansas City. So since 2011, there's only been three host cities of the stupid AFC championship. So
that's disgusting. Hey, and you know what the bright side is? Is Miami's hosted the Super Bowl probably half a dozen times. So it doesn't matter because they're never there. So it's okay. But the biggest thing is you mentioned how many times the Patriots have been there. Don't worry about it because in the next 10 years, there'll be zero. So it's all good. It's over. Dynasty's dead.
It's probably over. It's probably over. So, I mean...
Oh, going on a limb. It's not probably. It is.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, people have said this about Brady before, you know, like when he blew out his knee. It's over. He's not coming back. Okay. So that's what I wanted to get into for the end of the segment here. Brady is leaving. You're convinced.
Yes. If you read the fine print of that nice Instagram post, he going.
Okay. So he's leaving. Now, I've also heard that Belichick might want to leave New England. So if they both go, I'm absolutely with you. Like, the whole thing crumbles down. First of all, I think if Belichick wanted to leave, why wouldn't he have already done it, right?
So, yes, exactly.
But Brady's leaving. Is he playing next year or is he just done?
He's playing. I like the idea I've heard out there. It makes a lot of sense. Problem is the team that should be doing it doesn't always make the most sense. But the Chargers paying for him and then drafting Tua makes too much sense.
I mean, that would be a decent landing spot for him. And that was Collinsworth brought that up.
I didn't hear it from him. I will never credit that man.
Okay. Well, he brought it up after, I think, the last game of the weekend. So he brought up he doesn't think Brady's going back to New England. He thinks he's leaving. I just think at the end of the day, I think Robert Kraft is going to convince Tom Brady to stay. You know, I think he is. I think whatever the issue with Belichick that he has, I think it can be worked out. And I think it's just, like, how much longer does Brady have anyway? One more season. I think we just have to, at this point, agree on, right? It's just you have to take it on a year-to-year basis, right?
I just think it's like the end of the Manning era. It's the end of the Brady era. He's going to go have a year or two somewhere else. He's going to go try to win a title. The Chargers are going to be a part of that new grand stadium opening. That would be a heck of a name to throw out there. You still have Allen and Henry and Williams and all these weapons for him. To me, it's in a wide open AFC West outside of the Chiefs, like at least a wild card, maybe contend with the Chiefs. I think it's really interesting. The predicament, the options there. I think if Belichick leaves, Brady's definitely not coming back. You know, Kraft loves Brady. Belichick wanted to keep Garoppolo for a reason. So it's a very interesting dynamic. I don't know where Belichick would go. I think he might just go enjoy fishing and waiting for Saban to come visit him. But that's all. I don't know where he would go.
Yeah, I don't think if he left New England, I don't think he'd take another job. So I think he'd probably be done with it. But Tony Dungy says the Colts, I mean –
For Manning?
Yeah.
Or for Brady?
For Brady, yeah.
Yeah, I heard Pat McAfee talking about that today on his radio show. And he says, he was saying Indianapolis is a very forgiving town and would welcome in almost anybody, any enemy. But everything he's heard already is Brady's plane needs to keep flying over Indianapolis. Like, the fans do not want him there. They're so scarred from what he's done.
I'm trying to look up other situations here. I can't imagine you'd want to go to the Raiders.
Carolina.
Okay, that's not bad. Matt Rhule, rookie head coach, bring in Tom Brady. I like that idea.
The Bears.
Oh, the Bears, that's the other one. That's the other one right there is the Bears because the defense is already strong. They have good weapons, too. I like that idea as well. What about if Tannehill left Tennessee? Mike Vrabel.
Makes a lot of sense as well. Or what about Miami with Flores?
Miami with Flores, too. And it's a good
place
to retire.
There's so many disciples out there. Yep.
So, right, exactly. So, I don't know. I think that if I had to put my semi-hard-earned money down right now, I would put it on Tom Brady coming back and playing for the Patriots. I just would. You know, regardless of what he says in interviews or Instagram posts or anything right now, I think at the end of the day, most people are creatures of habit, and it's hard to leave that habit. But we got to hit a break. We're going to take this break, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the games for this weekend and the national championship for college football. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the Daily Roto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using Daily Roto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's In This League.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make.
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world, says who?
IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Welcome back. It's Hour 3 of In This League on Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. You can find me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. I am joined by my friend, Casey Bubba. We're talking football, but before we do that, Casey, plug away. Plug away at all the podcasts you're doing right now.
As always, the staple is Bench with Bubba. Thanks for the new listeners that have come along and extended their warm welcomes and whatnot. Keep joining us. We're doing two baseball pods a week. We're pumping them out at Max Freeze this week, and then Monday at Bubba and the Bat Flip 18 previewing catchers, a two-hour preview catcher. That was fun. I have that. I have MLB DFS Quick Hits coming up, always pressing PGA as the PGA Tour is rocking and rolling, and much, much more. So follow me on Twitter at BDNTrick and check it all out. But Bench with Bubba, come join the party.
And you just were featured in the Black Book. You're doing catchers and relievers, right?
Catchers, relievers, over 100 combined players between the two positions. It was a blast. And then we all did a group, overrated, underrated for each position. You know, there's this one guy, the Welsh, in there. I bet you someone's heard of him talking about that by now. And many others, really, really quality people in that book.
Who's your most overrated?
In what position?
Let's go with catchers since you went with catchers.
My most overrated catcher is Mitch Garver.
Mitch Garver. It's because he hit all those homers last year. You don't think he's going to do it again?
I don't think he's going to do it again. Playing time is always an issue with Mitch Garver between health and a lot of his playing time last year was that designated hitter because Baldelli appreciates defense behind the dish. That's why Jason Castro was back there so much. That's why they got Alex Avila, who's actually a very good defensive catcher. So not saying Garver's not going to be good, but if you're drafting him for 30-plus, don't count on it. Look more low 20s.
I think Alex Avila last year was on the Baseball Savant stuff, was one of the top framing catchers too.
Yep.
So.
Yep. He was outstanding, and that's what they need with that rough pitching staff. They need very good catchers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So, well, let's get into some football talk here and the weekend's games here. Maybe this game is going on as you're listening to this. It might be over with as you're listening to this, but it hasn't happened as we're recording. So the Vikings are on the road against the Welsh's Niners. The Niners are favored by 7. The over is 44.5. Is Kirk Cousins going to continue to ride this momentum into this game here?
I'm sorry, but Cinderella is about to realize the carriage turns into a pumpkin real quick. So San Francisco wins this game. I got Minnesota covering. I think it's a hard fought. They're going to want to run the ball a lot and just kind of slugfest. Niners might come out a little slow off the bye week. Niners win, Minnesota covers. Give me the under.
Minnesota and the under. Kirk Cousins pass yards, I got it at 230.
I'm going to go under. D Ford's back. That pass rush is going to be vicious with Bosa and company. Cousins going to be he's going to make a few bad plays this week.
Yeah, I think they're going to eat his lunch. Quan Alexander should be back in this.
Yeah, they're
going
to be
too.
Pretty darn healthy this week, and people. That's why I almost want the Niners. I almost picked the Niners to cover. I still just think they run the ball so much it just kind of slow plays.
Dalvin Cook total yards. I'm going to put it at 90 because it's a tough matchup. But I think if you're thinking they're going to rely on him, the 90 should be fairly easy, right?
Yeah, total yards I'll go over between running the ball and having to dump it off when Cousins is praying for his life. I think Cook should get to 90.
I think they're going to get Debo involved in this game fairly heavily. I got his touches at 7 because they've been running a lot of reverses and drawn up runs with him and stuff like that. So I'm going to put him at 7. What do you think of Debo this week?
It's a good number because they need to get him the ball a lot. I'll go over just in the hopes that I agree with the reverses and all the other aspects. I'll take the over. I do think it's a big Debo week. If you're playing DFS, play Debo over Emmanuel Sanders, please.
Ah, look at that. Emmanuel Sanders, like the one guy with playoff experience on the Niners because they're a fairly young team. Coleman does too, obviously.
Don't forget Jimmy G. He held that clipboard a lot.
He did. You know what? There's something to be said for that. He did hold the clipboard, but at least he knows the process, right? Should they go to the Super Bowl and even the NFC Championship of all the press requirements and the week layoff and all that nonsense.
And sadly, so does Shanahan.
Yeah, so does Shanahan. Absolutely. 28-3. Tennessee at Baltimore. Baltimore favored by 9.5, but they've got a lot of guys that are sick or banged up or got stuff going on. 47 is the over here. Are you rolling with your boy Tannehill again this week?
Yep, Tennessee and the under. Baltimore wins this game, but it's like the way I said Minnesota, San Francisco is a running game. This is even worse. The weather looks horrific. It's going to be just a let's see who can run the ball the best and win by like a field goal. That's the game.
Lamar Jackson total yards 275.
It's a tough one. If Ingram is out, I got way over. Ingram is questionable right now. I'm going to take the
Ingram's going to play. Like he was limited in practice, so he's going to play. It's a playoff.
I'm going to take the over just cuz I think Lamar tries to do a lot and breaks a big one, but that's a tough number right there.
Derrick Henry rush yards, I'm going to put it
over
at 80. I didn't even say the number, and you said over.
He's a man. If Tennessee's covering this game, Henry goes off again.
This is what Derrick Henry is built for right here.
Yes.
He's built for a playoff run. Give him the ball and get out of his damn way. I did like him hugging Chris Johnson after the game in the locker room. That was, they built a tradition of good running backs in Tennessee. Eddie George, Chris Johnson, and now Derrick Henry. It's kind of their thing. A.J. Brown receiving yards, I'm going to put it at 70 for him.
I'm going to go under. Again, I think with the weather conditions, and I think defensively they'll target him and make Tannehill beat him elsewhere.
Is this the game that you're looking forward to the most this weekend?
Which one?
Tennessee at Baltimore?
No. If that was a Tannehill joke, no. But I think it's going to be I think all four games are going to be very, very good, like fun to watch. But Sunday's the day to watch. Like if you're going to go do honeydews, do them on Saturday, do them today as we record. Sunday is the day you want free.
Now, okay, so let's move to those games here. Houston at Kansas City. Kansas City favored by 9.5. 51 is the over here. Kind of an interesting line. I guess the Texans didn't inspire much confidence last week. We should say that. Yeah. How do you see this one playing out?
Usually I hate big lines like this, but give me Kansas City in a trucking and the over. Kansas City is going to blow the doors off of Houston this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have to be with you on that game because it's just Kansas City has got, they're clicking on all cylinders now.
Their defense is ferocious right now.
Their defense is playing well. The you know, Patty Mahomes has looked better every week off that knee injury. So I'm just excited about them. You know, everyone was picking them last year, and I think they have a better shot this year. Tyreek Hill receiving yards, I'm going to put it at 90.
And don't forget Andy Reid off a bye week narrative. Just remember that.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, give me the over. Give me the over. Houston's defense, especially the secondary, no bueno.
Patrick Mahomes' pass yards, 265.
He's going over 300.
All right. J.J. Watt sacks, one.
I'm going to go under.
Under. He doesn't get a sack this week.
Doesn't get a sack this week.
Oh, man. I hope you're wrong. You know, I like to see J.J. Watt get to the quarterback there. But
You like the sack dance, don't you?
Yeah, I just like J.J. Watt. You know, he's
J.J. Watt's awesome on Wisconsin. I get it. I'm a fan.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's who I wanted the Steelers to take. Look, they took Cameron Hayward in that draft, so not a bad pick either. But J.J. Watt, you know, defensive MVP and all that stuff. We got his brother.
Yeah, I was going to say, imagine if you had both Watts right now.
I mean, look, those guys are so close that it's a possibility that after his next contract,
yep,
it would probably be more something like at the very end of his career that he would want to play with his brother or something. And I would see at that point, you would think all of the Watt brothers would play together, right? Like Derek would probably go there as well. So is there another one? Do they have their own?
There's only three that I'm aware of. They're not quite the Gronkowskis.
Yeah, well, I was going to say the Mannings. Like there's Archie and or Eli and Peyton. And
Koopa.
Koopa. Yeah.
Koopa. That's Koopa.
What did he, didn't he have like a spinal issue, Cooper? And that's why he couldn't play football?
Like obviously Peyton's like a super nice guy. I'd probably lie for anything, but he said that Cooper was like the best out of all of them, and he like got an injury and couldn't play anymore. Yeah. Now, you know, that's kind of, it's tough to say when Eli's probably one of the best. I mean, Peyton's one of the best to ever play. Eli's got two Super Bowls. To say Cooper's even better is pretty, I think it might be a little bit of Peyton trying to, you know, say my brother's pretty good. But I was going to ask you, would you rather have the Watt brothers or the Bosa brothers?
To the Watt brothers. Yeah, the Watt brothers. Yeah,
that's a quick answer for a pretty fierce other side of that conversation.
It is, but you know what? You know, and this is funny coming from the Watt brothers, but I like guys that play, you know, and Joey Bosa is always nicked up just every single week. And Nick Bosa was hurt at Ohio State and then hurt to come into this year, too. So, but I mean, you know, Watt has missed a season and a half here, and TJ will leave once a game. And it's because these guys just, they don't have a, you know, all right, we're going to ratchet it down on this play to 80%. It just doesn't live in those guys. So it's 100% every single play, and that's why they leave banged up constantly. But I would take, I think the Watts are less hurt than the Bosas. So
true.
I don't know.
And they're humanitarians, so that's always good.
I should probably say the Bosa's so I don't get whacked, right? Because I hear they're connected. So
yeah, just a bit up there in the Midwest area. Yeah.
Seattle at Green Bay, the last game of the week. Green Bay is a 4-point favorite. 46.5 is the over. How do you see that one going?
This is a fun one. I hope weather allows it to be as fun as it should be, but I'll take Seattle and the over in this one.
Seattle winning straight out?
Yes.
I think so, too.
It hurts because I like Rodgers and Green Bay, but at the same time, they're not as washed as New England, but they're pretty overrated this year.
Yeah, I don't like them, so it's easy for me. But it's not like I love the Seahawks either. I just think the Seahawks are a better team this year. I think it's
– I think I think the Seahawks can handle more adversity as a game changes, that they can change the way they play the game, where Green Bay can't.
Yeah, I think Seattle and San Francisco are probably the two best teams in the NFC, and we've seen it from those great games that they played this year, and only one of them could have home field advantage, wound up being the Niners. So I would love to see Seattle versus San Francisco part three in the NFC Championship. That'd be a lot of fun.
I bet the Welsh doesn't want to see that.
No, he doesn't. He said, I at least don't want to play the Seahawks this week. So he was happy about how it turned out here. But Aaron Rodgers' pass yards, 300 against the Sea Chickens there. What do you think?
Sea Chickens' secondary is beat up. Since I want the game to go over, I'm going to take over on the passing yards. He should get there.
Marshawn Lynch, they said they're going to use him more this week. Over under on 50 yards.
Under.
Under?
I don't believe it at all.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that makes sense. And then Devontae Adams catches, I put at 7.
Way over. He's going to have a big, big week. He's had over, I believe, 12 targets in 3 straight weeks. He's going to have over 7 catches for sure.
So your NFC championship would be San Francisco hosting Seattle, and your AFC championship would be Kansas City hosting Baltimore, or Baltimore hosting Kansas City, excuse me.
Yep. Bingo. Okay.
Yeah, I think, I mean,
what did you pick? You usually tell me what you pick when I pick. What'd you pick?
Yeah, I think I would go same thing. I want to pick Tennessee. I just can't. Baltimore's been too good for the whole year. I'm definitely taking Tennessee against the spread. The 9.5 is way too much. Like you mentioned, the weather is going on there. Tennessee is peaking right now. Baltimore has been in a nice rhythm, and they had an off week, plus the weird injuries that have been happening. I'm with you. I think the closest game of the week is probably going to be Seattle and Green Bay, but I could see Baltimore and Tennessee rivaling it.
I think Baltimore or Tennessee is a field goal game, because Tennessee and Vrabel are just good enough to give Lamar trouble.
Well, in a field goal game too, you got to take Justin Tucker, right? I mean,
bingo. He's the man. Yeah. Like, he's one of the best that we've seen in our lifetime. Like him, Vinatieri, there ain't that many that are that good.
I may not like his professional team, but where did he go to college again?
I'm guessing he's a Hook'em Horns.
Yeah, that's right. He was Texas. Yep. So I believe he was the kicker that booted the last one against A&M right between the pipes there to send us home against the Aggies. Haven't had another game against the Aggies since they moved to the SEC. Both sides of that are stupid. They can't.
Yeah, why haven't they like rekindled that rivalry?
I think they played some basketball games, but it's just...
That's easier.
It's easier. It's just something about the... neither side is willing to give. And to be honest, it's probably more Texas's problem. You know, Texas is the one that has held the Big 12 hostage a little bit. You know, they could have joined the SEC a couple years ago. They could have gone. They were thinking about moving to the Pac-12 when their contract was up with the Big 12 and stuff like that. And, you know, what they finally landed on was, give us our own TV network, and there's no Big 12 network, and we get all the revenue, and we'll stay in the Big 12. And the Big 12 was like, well, we don't want to be basically relegated to a G5 conference, so fine, we'll do it. And that's how we wound up with the Longhorn Network that nobody watches. And, you know, it's kind of selfish. I mean, I'm okay with the Longhorns having their own network, though. It brings in recruits. So
Yes, it does. And how's that working out?
You know, Bubba, I don't know why you got to personally attack me in the middle of this show on occasion, but it hasn't worked out very well. I'll say that, but look,
In Tom Herman, we trust, right?
I guess. No,
that wasn't a jab. That was actually serious.
Well, he's got to start playing calls. Calling plays. I know he doesn't want to, because he says, look, I shouldn't be calling plays. I have, you know, head coaching things to do. I have media obligations, stuff like that. You know, I shouldn't be calling the plays. But he did in the bowl game, and the Longhorns stomped Utah. So if that's what's gonna get it done, let's do whatever gets it done. I don't really care what it takes. You know, if he's gonna, if he calls the plays and they work better that way, do it. So,
They had a great bowl game, like you said, against Utah. That was phenomenal. So, and you got your boy coming back to play quarterback. That's a good thing.
I don't know why he was thinking of leaving. I mean,
yeah,
He must be upset at the situation going on, but like, you know, how many times have you seen that picture of him as like a little 3-year-old child doing the throwing up the horns in that picture? Like, I don't know why he would want to leave at all. Maybe
Tired of God in Austin.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically Tim Tebow at this point. So he's got 4,000 yards passing and 40 touchdowns to go to break Colt McCoy's records at Texas. So
that's a lofty records there. That's a big name to pass in Texas folklore.
Yeah, I mean, look, Vince obviously did a ton for Texas, but my favorite quarterback to watch was Colt. So yeah. I mean, but Vince won us the national title. So Colt couldn't quite get there, but it's gonna, I don't know. We got the kid coming out of Tucson, Bijan Robinson, the big running back recruit. So I'm excited for him. But
when are you guys gonna beat Oklahoma?
This year. We beat Oklahoma last year.
But like when it matters.
Okay. All right. I just want to get to the playoff, man. You know, let's just get to the.
That's when it'll matter. That'll matter once you beat them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, it's gonna happen. Like, I wanted Lincoln Riley to go to the Cowboys and them to have to scramble to bring somebody else in. None of that happened. But we got to go to break. When we come back, we're gonna talk about the national championship game happening on Monday and whatever baseball we can. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Endless love time. You guys know what that means. It's the last segment of In This League on the sports grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. I am joined by Casey Bubba. Follow him on the Twitter at BDentric, where he has all the thousands and thousands of podcasts that he does. Follow me on Twitter at Bogman Sports, where you can hear also the thousands and thousands of podcasts that I do as well. But I want to talk about the national title game. It's LSU versus Clemson. Both teams are undefeated. Clemson, I feel like, should be favored in this game, but
really,
because they haven't lost a game in 29 straight games. This would be their 30th win in a row or whatever. And probably more than that, stretching back to the previous year, but, 30 wins in a row for Clemson. Their team has been incredible ever since Trevor Lawrence came in. But the reason LSU is the favorite, many reasons. Home game for them, basically. It's in New Orleans. They haven't lost this year. Joe Burrow won the Heisman, and he just put up 150 touchdowns against the Sooners, which I enjoyed watching. I could get it done to that. This team has looked incredible, so I feel like this is a Vegas line, knowing people will take the the Tigers in this Tiger Bowl. People will take
the Tigers. The Tigers are winning this
right
week.
The Tigers will win. Louisiana State, I think, is being taken because they have been prominent on national television, and they've run through a much harder schedule than Clemson has. So, Clemson didn't play a rough schedule at all, except Ohio State. And a lot of people think that Ohio State should have won that game. So, first of all, what was your thought on that controversy with the fumble and being blown dead and all that stuff?
I hate seeing fumbles blown dead. I yell at the TV all the time, let the play through and then review it from there. I'm not a fan of it, but what happened. And you know what? That wasn't the only play that ruined the game for you.
Right.
Like I say that all the time, is you can get mad all you want, but when you lose a close game, there is much more than one play that got it for you.
Right. 100%. So I'm with you on that. But what do you think about this game? What are your thoughts?
I think it's going to be a great game. I know that's not, you know, great analysis for you there. It is a national championship game. But
sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're stompings.
Yeah, like Clemson beating the crap out of Alabama last year. That was beautiful. I like this Clemson team. This is the title game I picked, LSU-Clemson. I just love this LSU team. The line, I agree with everything you said about the line. It's a home game. I figured they'd be like 3-point favorites, but home game, people are going to bet them. I don't know what the numbers are, but I imagine a lot of the money's already on LSU. I think it's closer than 6, unless it's like a last-minute thing. I think Clemson covers this game, but I think it goes way over. I think, you know, the first half might be a little slow because Dabo Swinney, I respect the heck out of Clemson. Like you said, it doesn't matter how good or bad their schedule is. To get college kids to win 29 straight football games is very impressive. That's getting them to stay focused for 29 football games. I don't care who you are. That is great. They're going to be ready to play. They've been here before. This team with Lawrence has been here before. They play great defense. I think it'll be a much closer game for most of it. I think it's going to be more of a slugfest back and forth. But I got LSU. I got Burrow having another just big game because they have so many weapons. Everyone goes and thinks it's going to be Chase. They go against Oklahoma and Jefferson goes off. They have so many ways to go about it. Plus, they'll have their starting running back. Edwards should be ready to rock and roll fully healthy. LSU wins, Clemson covers, game goes over. That's what I'm thinking. And I think that'll make for a great football game.
Yeah, I think if, for what I said on my CFB Winning Edge podcast was, I think if you're taking the over in most cases, you're taking LSU. But I'm with you. I think against the spread, I would take Clemson, even though I think this game should go over as well. I just, logically, my head says take Clemson, right? They've been here before. They know what they're doing. They didn't face a tough schedule, but they didn't have to. They're a great team. You talked about the money. The spread money, 79% from where I'm looking here, is on LSU. The straight up money.
That makes sense.
Yep. Straight up money is on Clemson. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, take the plus money.
Yeah, you take the plus money, exactly. 68% on the over to 32% on the under. So I think most people expect this to be a high scoring game. I just cannot pick against Joe Burrow in this game.
Exactly.
He's just too locked in. I can't. I don't see myself doing it. So I'm with you. I'm going to go ahead and take the LSU Tigers. I almost said the Tigers again. The LSU Tigers over Clemson in this game. But I think it's going to be a very, very fun game either way. I don't see it being a blowout, which of course means it'll be, you know, 35-3 Clemson now.
Hopefully not. Hopefully not.
I think if it is a blowout, it would probably go to Clemson, right? It'd probably be Joe Burrow breaking down and looking like he did last year.
Yeah, it'll mean Joe Burrow just imploded is exactly what it'll mean. But the thing is, like, I wanted to make that point that with Edwards back healthy, it doesn't have to be the Joe Burrow show if things are going differently. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great way to cap off our awesome football weekend on Monday night.
Yeah, and there's tons of draft prospects in this, too. Joe Burrow probably right now is looked at as the number one overall pick to the Bengals. You know, they've got a lot. Jefferson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like you said, is going to be drafted on the Clemson side. T. Higgins is one of my favorite wide receivers in this class.
So good. So good.
He 50-50 balls are 80-20 balls.
Think about it. Against Ohio State, he missed the whole first half with a concussion. Somehow was medically cleared for the second half. He ran routes like he was still concussed, but he was cleared. But they basically beat Ohio State without one of the top receivers in the nation.
Yeah, exactly. And he's going to be there. Justin Ross and Trevor Lawrence are a year away, but Travis Etienne, the running back, is going to be one of the top, you know, three or four backs off the board in this draft. He's a great player to watch too. And on the defensive side, Isaiah Simmons for Clemson and Grant Delpit are both first rounders coming up in this draft as well. So it's going to be a fun game to watch for sure. I found two prop bets, and you know we love prop bets here. Joe Burrow passing yards, 365.5. Where would you sit on that?
It's like you said, if you got LSU winning and you got the over in this game, I got to go over on the passing yards with Burrow, but that's a lot of yards, but I'm going to go over.
It's a lot of yards, but he does that in his sleep. I think that's an easy one. 295.5 for Trevor Lawrence, I think is a tougher line because I think if you had asked me this question 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, I would have picked Clemson and not batted an eye because LSU's defense had not been playing like it has recently. They've really buckled down and they're living up to that star rating and everything recently. So I think it's a good line. I think I would still go over in this one because I think if LSU is clicking, Clemson is going to have to play comeback kid. So I would go over on that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think if it's a low score, if you got the under, this one goes under for sure. I think it's a ground and pound them game. But if you think they're going to keep up and cover and go over, Trevor Lawrence has to go over 300 yards.
All right. So in Bubba and I's, quest to keep up with what Welsh and I do here, we're going to do some baseball and we're going to cover the Rockies. We did the Diamondbacks last week. We're going to at least get the Rockies in here and talk a little bit about some fantasy value. Now, the Rockies have tons and tons of just great options here, especially hitting. Trevor Story, David Dahl, Nolan Arenado, Charlie Blackman, Daniel Murphy. I don't know what they're doing at second base there. That's probably the crazy thing. But Arenado or Story in the first round, who would you take first?
Okay, this is a tough one because I just did my shortstop rankings, and shortstop is so insanely deep that part of me just wants to wait on shortstop and take advantage of other stuff. But I'm also in the process of doing my third baseman rankings, and I tweeted out over the week that you could have the top five in any order you want. So they're really, really close. I think I would still go Arenado, but it's like really close. I've just never been a full on Trevor Story guy. And I usually have to eat crow for it every year.
Well, at least the last 2 years. I mean, that third year, you didn't because that was his down one. But I think that I'm okay with any. I don't think there's a wrong answer on that.
No, there's not. There really isn't.
I think I would probably go Story, but Arenado, like you said, is right there. It's I think the slight possibility of Arenado getting traded,
that would change a lot of things, yes.
Yeah, is what would lean me towards Trevor Story. And, you know, our buddy Paul Spohr, I heard him on Sleeper in the Bus saying, you know, look, if Arenado gets moved, he's still going to be amazing. He's not going to drop down to a 250 hit or anything. He's still going to be awesome. And I agree with that. It's just you there's no way any hitter you move to Colorado gets a boost. So
Well, and my thing with Arenado, okay, so he gets traded. Yes, he's still very, very good. Is he first round good? Probably not. He's more like, I'd say, Anthony Rendon good, which is end of the second round, early third round, probably. That's where I would go with him.
Yeah, which is still MVP very level good. Third yeah, base. Very, very he's still good. A gold glover, too. The glove translates anywhere. It doesn't matter. So what about the rest of the guys in this lineup? Are you a David Dahl guy, or are you kind of out on Dahl? Looking at draft champions on NFBC, David Dahl right now is going, whoops, I just lost it here. Hold on. David Dahl is going around pick 150. So are you in on Dahl? Because I'll just let you know, I am not.
I have been in recent years. I know some of the injuries are fluky, some aren't. I probably will not be in on him this year, but all it's going to take is a very good, healthy spring training, and I'll find myself in my last draft of the year, like, overbidding for him because the talent level, I believe, is outstanding. I think it's very, very good. But my goodness, like, rib injuries, cartilage here, stuff that can reoccur injuries, basically, is what he keeps having, minus running into the wall. That was a fluke. But he's had some reoccurring possible injuries, and that terrifies me at his price.
You would think that his last name was Bosa with all those injuries, right?
yeah, or Stanton.
Oh, come on. That's two purposeful digs at me.
I feel bad because I really like you, and I know the Welsh does it because he's the Welsh. I kind of feel bad because I'm going heel on you right now, and it doesn't feel right.
What? Yeah, what are you doing? You're not taking Stanton this year.
I have a head cold. I never take Stanton.
Even at his value this year, you're not going to take him.
Maybe. Like, I heard your guys' argument on that, and there is justification because one thing I love to do is value hunt, and he is a value. He's only a value, though, Bogman, if he plays.
Yeah.
And that's a massive concern for me.
Well, okay. What would be the KC Bubba over under on games played for Stanton this year?
Let's go. We'll start with 100.
100. You're going to go 100. The 2 years before he had these injuries.
I don't know where you're going with this.
157, 158, and you're only going to go 100? Like, I would put it like 135, right?
Okay, 135. How many home runs does he hit?
45.
Is that enough for you?
Yeah.
If he doesn't, Does that mean he's going to get you 100 ribbies and hit you, what, 255?
In the Yankees lineup? Yeah, I think it is.
I'm just checking.
It's going to be close enough, at least. So, looking at David Dahl, here's some of the guys that are going around him. And I'm looking at draft champions on NFBC. The three guys ahead of him are Arcides Aquino, Max Kepler, Franmil Reyes. Are you taking any of those guys over David Dahl?
Max Kepler, he's my little buddy. I've preached about him all the last couple of years. Now it's harder to preach because he's done it and people actually draft him accordingly. But as you know, if you love him, you've loved him recently too. In the last few years, he was such a value. And the take home message with Kepler that I preach is he's young, but he's young in baseball years. He didn't start playing until late in his life in Germany. This game is still new and he's still developing things, and you see it from year to year with him. And if you look at StatCast, he has a sneaky good sprint speed. If he ever started running, his value goes through the roof.
So Kepler would be the one guy. No, yes. On Reyes and Aquino.
Probably not. I'd probably still take Dahl there. I'd go a different position.
I would take Reyes and Kepler. I wouldn't take Aquino over him. Malik Smith, Kyle Schwarber, and Willie Calhoun are below him. The three guys immediately below him. Would you take any of those guys over David Dahl?
I take two or three. Smith, if I need steals, would be there. But Schwarber, I'm a big Schwarber fan this year, especially if he's hitting in the top three in that order. If you look at his gains over the last half of last season, and he was hitting lefties, and he was hitting lefties better as well. I think Schwarber has a big year this year.
I think I'd take Schwarber and Calhoun over him and not Malik Smith. Because
I meant Calhoun. I apologize. I want Calhoun a lot. I just hope they don't bring in Castellanos and take his playing time.
That's true. So that would change, obviously.
Calhoun, I think, is going to have, if he gets 135 games, he'll have a great value for it.
Right, exactly. And I just don't trust that. If there's anyone in Major League Baseball I don't trust to get 135 games, is David Dahl. Like, he is. He finds a way. He's like the Jeff Goldblum meme. Life finds a way. He finds a way to get hurt. So Welsh and I have beat this one over the head a little bit with getting questions on it and talking about it on the show a little bit. So I want your opinion. This second base situation in Colorado with McMahon, Hampson, and potentially Brendan Rodgers, obviously coming off the labrum surgery, but getting mixed in there at some point. Are you avoiding this situation wholly and completely? Are you taking Garrett Hampson because he could also play the outfield and he won people money last year? Like, how do you see that one spilling out?
It's full tilting because we don't know. And I know that's lazy, but that's the Rockies. And for me, I want McMahon. That's who I drafted last year, but I got him with the last pick of like TGFBI in a 15-team league. And he panned out. Hampson and McMahon were both going towards the end of drafts. Now you actually have to pay a premium for them, or at least a decent draft pick. And it's hard. So if I got to gamble, I'm taking McMahon. I know Hampson's great, but he's more of a steals, maybe get on base, where we've seen McMahon show a ton of power, especially in that ballpark. What I'm kind of hoping is Daniel Murphy gets out of the way. He can move McMahon to first, play Hampson at second, try to do something along those lines. Don't forget, you still have Ian Desmond in the way. This is why, as much as I don't want them to trade Arenado can be good because you can put Hampson at third. Like, there's ways to move these guys around. But to answer your question, I'm going with McMahon for now, but I really don't like any of them.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. Like, if I had to pick one, you know, Rodgers is banged up and Hampson costs too much. So give me McMahon, but I think the option is probably door number three, which has none of them. The hardest thing here is to know when to ever take a Rockies pitcher. We got about a minute left in the show. Is there any guy that you'd be willing to take? Maybe even a flyer on like an Oberg at the end of the draft just to try and grab a closer.
Oberg is the only one I can hear reasoning for because he'll get you a stat that's hard to find everywhere, like in saves. Otherwise, I'm pretty much hard fastly will never touch a Rockies pitcher, period.
Mark, look, I'm not going to sit here and make the argument for Marquez, right? I will say I was into him last year and he torched me. So, I mean, it was bad. I had to get acid to get the Marquez off of me, if you know what I'm saying. So it's not fun. He's going around 180 now, though. Like, he is deep. And the xFIP, not terrible. 4.76 ERA. 3.54 xFIP, and he strikes out a lot, still over 9 K per 9. So he's decent. Any love there at all?
Nope. I can't.
All right. Well, we're going to end on that. We're going to end on no Marquez. So that is going to wrap it up for us. We will see you guys next week. Follow us on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports, at BDEntric, and we will see you guys later. Take it easy.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you. When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.